Morning. Today's Daf is Vachmis Nun Hei. We start in the Mishnah Nun Dalam and Beis. We are up to the Hashamos. Okay, the progression of the Mishnah is here in the fifth paragraph of Zvachim has been meticulous. It's been very organized. We have, since the beginning of this paragraph, gone over the procedure regarding the Karbanos, and we started at the category of Kachi Kachim. We're still in the category of Kachi Kachim. We start in the paragraph with all the Chatos. We start with the Chatos Pnimis, where the bloods are going into the Heichal and on Yom Kippur into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We then move to a chatas, a regular chatas, where the blood is going to be sprinkled in the four corners of the Mizbeach. We then segue into the Ola, the Karban Ola, which we discussed already a little bit in the Gemara. And now we're up to the Karban Hashem. Karban Hashem now is where Mishnah, we're up to Nandalam and Beis. And there are five Hashamas, there are six Hashamas. You'll see why I get confused in just a moment, whether it's five or six. We start the Mishnah, Zivchei Shamit Sibor. Sorry. The Mishnah also includes Shalmit Tzibur as well. Now, Shalmit Tzibur, by the way, is a Shlamin, but it's odd. It's strange. The oddity that exists is that it's a Shlamin, but at the same time, it falls under the category of Kachi Kedushin because it's a communal Shlamin. It's not a personal Shlamin. Personal Shlamin obviously falls under the category of Kachim Kalim. We're going to be discussing that later this morning as we move on to the next Mishnayos. But this Mishnah over here talks about Shalmit Tzibur. Now, it talks about Shalmit Tzibur as if it's this big category. Yeah, it's a big category. You know what? It includes one carbon. The Shalmit Tzibur includes only the Bikurim that are offered on Shavuos, right? The Shtei Atzeres, the Shnei Kvasim that is offered with the... that is offered with the Shtei Alechem, so that is offered on Shavuos, and that is what is referred to as Shalmit Tzibur, meaning, so it's a communal Shlamim. It's a communal Shlamim, as we're going to learn together, fits under the category of Kachei Kedushim for reasons which we're going to delineate as we learn the Mishnah together. So, let's see the Mishnah inside. Zivchei Shalmit Tzibur v'Hashamos. So, now we're talking about Zivchei Shalmit Tzibur together with the Hashamos. Now, Elohim Hashamos. Now, what are the Hashamos? So, there are 5/6 Hashamos. Asham Gzelos. Now, most of the Hashamos are listed in the end of Parshas Vayikra. You go open up to the fifth parak of Vayikra, you're going to see over there most of the Hashamos. There's one Asham that's not mentioned over there. We're going to go over all 5/6 of the Hashamos. So Asham Gzelos, the person steals. The person steals, denied, when accused of having stolen, and not only denies it, but makes a shvur to the fact that he didn't steal. And then makes an admission, an open admission, that he lied. Under those circumstances, he has to make restitution, add another 25%, and bring a carbon asham. That's asham gzela, asham me'ilos. Asham me'ilos is a very similar idea, but instead of stealing from another person, he steals from the Beis HaMikdash. He misappropriates from the Beis HaMikdash, makes use of an item that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, either bedek habayis or something that was carbon dedicated. If it's something which is carbon dedicated, it has to be something that was supposed to go up onto the Mizbeach. Right, we're going to see that idea again and again in Masechta Me'ilah. If it's something which is Bedek HaBayis, it could be anything that belongs to Bedek HaBayis, but in any event, he misappropriated the item, he got a hana from that item, so once again, he has to make full restitution, add another 25%, and he also has to bring a Karban Asham. Asham Shivcha Charufa. Shivcha Charufa. Now, it's not totally clear what exactly the Shivcha Charufa is. We're going to go with Rashi right here on the daf. Rashi writes, Haba Ashivcha Kananis HaMiyuadis Le'Eved Ivri. A Jew goes into some sort of indentured servitude. He's what's called an Eved Ivri. He's not a slave in the classic sense. He's not owned. It's not property. He is a Jew for every halacha, but with one notable distinction. As an Eved Ivri, he can be paired with a Shivcha Kananis while he's in the state of being an Eved Ivri. It's an unusual halacha. It's unusual because, generally speaking, a Jew is not allowed to marry Shivcha Kananis. It's a lav for a Jew to marry a Shivcha Kananis. But once you're an Eved Ivri, so you have now your Adon, your master now has the right to pair you together with the Shivcha Kananis. And so the two of you are, now the word married is a strong word. I wouldn't use the word married, but the two of you are paired. Okay, and you'll have children, but we know the halach is, we say in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, that when you go free, so your wife, I'll put that in quotes, your wife and your children stay with the owner. In other words, because she's not your wife, she's your, whatever, she's your, right? There's no good English word for it, or I can't think of one right now. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is that if another man were to have relations with this woman, so it's significant other, I guess. If another man would have relations with this woman, so that is not bona fide adultery, But in other words, what is something? So for that something, so the Torah demands that you bring a carbon asham. That's what's known as the asham of the Shifcha Charufa. That's the way Rashi explains it over here, and that's what we'll stick with for today. Asham of the Nazir. A Nazir is going to bring a carbon asham at the conclusion of his Nazirus, and asham Mitzara. Mitzara also at the conclusion of his Saras, meaning when he's going through the purification process, he too is going to bring a carbon asham. So what do we have right now? Five on the table. Five carbon ashams. That of Gzela, that of Me'ila, Shivcha, Charufa, Nazir, and Mitzara. And then finally, there's the number six. Six is Asham Talui. The carbon Asham Talui. Asham Talui is not for a particular sin, but for a suffix of his sin. We're going to see this extensively as we go on to the later Masechtas in Seder Kachim. A person may or may not have violated Nisr Kares. He doesn't know. Classic example that's always given is that there are two pieces of fat in front of him. One's Chalev and the other is Shuman. He eats one of the two. He doesn't know which one of them he ate. So under those circumstances, so until he determines whether or not he violated an Nisr Kares, eating Chalev is an Nisr Kares, so then he's going to bring an Asham Talu. And that Asham Talu will be Megin Ala Yisurim. It will protect him from any suffering that he would need to do in the event that he violated the Isser. So this is what's called also a carbon asham. This is the asham talui. Okay, shchitas and betzafan. So for all of these carbonas that we just mentioned, which is shalmei tzibur together with all the ashamos, so shchitas and betzafan, you shech them in the north. In other words, this still falls under the category of kachay kadashim. V'kibol damim mikli sharis betzafan, also receiving of the blood is done in the north. V'damim tam shnei matanos shehin arba. In terms of the number of applications to the mizbeach, so it's going to be two, which is four, like we discussed back in the carbon ola. Meaning you're going to go to the two opposite corners, one in the northeast, the other in the southwest, and you're going to machlokas tanaim exactly how you're going to do it. You're going to hit the corner in two steps. You're going to hit the corner in one step. We just saw yesterday machlokas tanaim on that matter. In any event, same thing with the carbon ashan. V'nechal lefnim and aklaim, it can be eaten only within the curtains. Again, the Mishnah is using old language. When I say old, meaning referencing back to the Mishkan, where by the Mishkan they had a curtain surrounding the Azara. But Necham Lefnim and Aklaim Lezichrei Kohuna can only be eaten by the male Kohanim. Lechol Ma'achal could be prepared anyway. Again, the Mishnah keeps using this language to contrast that to the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach can only be eaten roasted. And over here, if Lechol Ma'achal could prepare, the Kohen could prepare the meat of the Karban Asham, roasted, cooked, boiled, etc., etc. Leyom V'layla, how long can it be eaten? One day and the following night, meaning the day that it's shechted and the following night, Ad Chatzos. Now, Minator, you have the entire night. But again, as a safeguard, the rabbi said that you have to stop eating the carbon ashram, the kohanim have to stop eating the carbon ashram already by midnight. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah. The Gemara's discussion over here, brief discussion, minalan debayt safan. How do I know that the carbon ashram has to be shechted in the north? Again, where does the Torah state explicitly? Only by the carbon ola. In other words, the Torah does not mention north by the other carbonas, not by chatas, not by ashram, not by shamit sibor. So how do I know that there's a requirement to shecht it in the north? Now, the Gemara's question over here is really focused mostly on, let's see. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, Rava bar Rav Chana kamei de Rava v'asisim siri zimecha lachatas malachatas b'tzafan av shamit sibor b'tzafan. So the Torah, in giving a description of the carbon that is offered on Shavuos, so the Torah says v'asisim siri zimecha lachatas, and it makes a hekesh a comparison between the shamit sibor and the carbon chatas. My chatas b'tzafan av shamit sibor b'tzafan. So just like the carbon chatas is in the north, the shamit sibor is also in the north as well. So Amrle Rava v'chichatas meichan lamda me'ola davar lamed behekesh chozer malamed behekesh. The Gemara says you violated a rule which almost a week ago we spent a lot of time discussing, and that is you can't jump hekesh to hekesh. Other permutations, yes and no, it depends on which ones they are. But hekesh to hekesh, we said categorically by kachim you cannot do. So, how do I know that chatas is shechted in the north because of its comparison to the carbonola? How do I know that the shamit sibor is shechted in the north because of its comparison to a chatas? So we just double-jumped, double-hekeshed from ola to shamit sibor. You can't do that. And the Gemara says, so now what are you going to do? Ella, so the Gemara says, you're right. So we're going to have to take a different avenue. Ella min dini rav mari bereder rav kana ala losechem val zivche shamechem. So we go back to a parsha we read in Sedra just a couple weeks ago. So the Torah says in Parshas Baloscha that you're shechting it on your olas va'al zivchei shamechem. So ma ola kachik kadoshim, aziv chesham etzibur kachik kadoshim. So just like the ola falls under the category of kachik kadoshim, so too does the communal shlamim fall under the category of kachik kadoshim. Ma ola mitzafan, aziv chesham etzibur mitzafan. And just like the carbon ola is in the north, so is ziv chesham etzibur. And this is one jump. So ela kesha kamalamaya. So the Gemara says fine. Okay, good. So we have now secured that the sham etzibur shecht in the north because of its comparison in Parshas Baaloscha to the carbon ola. That's great. But we did have a comparison previously, meaning let's go back to the previous pasuk where the Torah does compare Shal Mitzibur to a Chatos. What was the purpose of the Torah doing that? That's the Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, Eli Kesha Kamala Mayasa, Ki Chatos. The Gemara says, we're comparing the Shal Mitzibur to that of a Chatos. Ma Chatos in an Echelas. Ela Zichre Kahuna, Av Zivche Shal Mitzibur Lezichre Kahuna. So the Gemara says, it's coming to teach us that who are the consumers of such a carbon? Only the male Kohanim. So the Amalei Abayi Yahachi Gabe Ayel Nazir, the Gemara says, if this is in fact so, that the Hekesh is connecting the Shal Mitzibur to that of a Chatas and dictating who's going to be eating it, who's going to be consuming it. And so the Gemara says, if that's true, let's go now to the Karbonos of a Nazir. We know that one of the Karbonos that's brought by Nazir is a Shlamim. Yahachi Gabe Ayel Nazir Dichsiv. Now regarding the ram that's brought by the Nazir, the ram is a Shlamim. The Torah describes it, V'ikrivas karbono la'ashem, keves b'shnaso tamim, echal ala v'kivsa achas b'shnaso tamimah l'chatas, v'ayel echa tamim l'shlamim. So there are a total of three karbonos that are offered by the Nazir. They are Ola, Chatas, and Shlamim. And in the pasuk, you have a clear hekesh between the Shlamim of the Nazir and that of a Chatas. Previously, we said that when the Torah is comparing the two, putting the two together, Chatzis and Shlamim side by side, it's there to dictate who the consumers are. So why don't we say the same thing over here? The Shlamim offered by the Nazir should only be consumed by Zichrei Kohuna in the Azara, considering that it's put right along side by side with the Karban Chatzis. So Hachinami, name it the Ekesh, Dehikesh HaKasav L'Chatzis. Ma Chatzis Eino Nechal L'Zichrei Kohuna, Af El Nazir Nami Eino Nechal L'Zichrei Kohuna. So the Gemara says, so why not make the following hekesh and arrive at a conclusion which the Gemara knows is not correct. Meaning when it comes to the shlamim of the Nazir, it's a shlamim. It's a regular shlamim. Now granted, there is something novel regarding that shlamim, which we're going to discuss in just a moment, but it is a shlamim. It's a regular shlamim. And there is no way that the conclusion could be that the shlamim is only going to be eaten by Zichrei Kohuna. It belongs to the Nazir. Nazir is going to be able to consume the shlamim. So, but meanwhile, if the hekesh is what's dictating, is dictating halacha, so it should dictate it here as well. Hachi hashta, the Gemara says no. Over here, I'll tell you why it's an absurd conclusion. Because hasam kevan dechsiv alakacha koin ezroa b'shelam in aisle. Because when it comes to the aisle of the Nazir, there's something unique about it, and that is what's called the zroa b'shelam. The front right foreleg of the, that's redundant. The right foreleg of the shlamim of the Nazir is going to be put in a pot, cooked in the pot. The hair of the Nazir is going to be shaved and placed under the pot and burned underneath the pot. And that leg is going to be given to the Kohen. Now, by virtue of the fact that that leg is going to be given to the Kohen, mechlal, dekule balim achlile. So that gives a clear indication that that leg and only that leg is given to the Kohen, meaning that the remainder of that animal is going to be given to the owner so that the owner can eat it. And the owner is not a Kohen. So another, it doesn't have to be a Kohen. And so clearly this idea that the shlamim of a Nazir is only eaten by the Kohanim, it's not true. It's an untenable conclusion. That leads us now to question then what's the purpose of the Hekesh? So the Gemara says, Zro b'shela mi alolit achle ela zichre kuhuna. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So I agree with you. The aisle of the Nazir is going to be given to the Nazir and going to be consumed by the Nazir. It's a shlamim. I agree with you. But at least let the Hekesh now dictate the rules regarding that leg that is given over to the Kohen. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that the Torah puts together in one pasuk, the Ola, the Chatas, and the Shlamim, so I agree, as far as the rest of the animal is concerned, give it to the Nazir and let him eat it wherever he wants. But at least the Zor B'Shela, which is given to the Kohen, let the Kohen now eat it, but with the governing rules of a Karban Chatas, meaning only male Kohanim and only in the Azara. So Kasha, the Gemara says, you know what? You're right. Meaning at this point in time, you could make the argument. I don't have a counter argument, says the Gemara. All right, it's difficult. Now, when the Gemara says Kasha, it sounds like what the Gemara means by that is, it's not the right conclusion, but right now I don't have an outstanding answer. The Gemara says, Karche ikre, karche kadoshim lo ikre. And then the Gemara, after saying the word kashya, says, you know what? I could make the following suggestion. Meaning that when it describes the shlamim of a nazir, the Torah uses the words kachim, but not karche kadoshim. So the Gemara says, so ve'el lamai hilchasa itkish. So the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, so as far as the shlamim of the nazir is concerned, it is not. It is a regular shlamim. It's not going to be treated like shamit zibor, where it has the status of kachya kadashim. Fine. I'll ask the question one more time. So then why in the Torah is there a hekesh between the shlamim of the nazir to that of the ola and to that of the chatas? Meaning, it's not there dictating the rules regarding eating the shlamim, meaning it's going to be eaten like a regular shlamim. So then why are the three placed together? So the Gemara asks the question and gives an answer. Amirava. So, she'im gila chalachas mishloshtem yatsa. Because here's what I would have thought, and here's what now we learn. I would have thought that since there's a requirement for the Nazir to bring three karbanos, Ola, Chatas, and Shlamim, so I would have thought that at what point can he say now that he concluded his Nazirus? So you would say that he concludes his Nazirus when he brings all three karbanos. Meaning, you could have made the argument that if he brought one, two, or two, that's simply insufficient. And he does not conclude his Nazirus until he brings all three. You could have made that argument. What the Gemara now is saying is, no, we're not going to make that argument. But rather, what we're going to say is that all he needs to do is bring one, and according to Rava, anyone. In other words, yes, there is a preferred order, but he brings any one of them, and that satisfies his conclusion of Nazirus. Obviously, there's a mitzvah to bring all three, but in terms of at what point can he say Nazirus now has officially come to an end? When he brings one of the karbanos, how do we see it from the pasuk? Meaning, what indication is there in the pasuk? So take a look at Rashi over here, the last Rashi before the upcoming Mishnah. Rashi is pretty much right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Divra Amaschol Shim Gilach Al Achas Mishloshem Yatsa, and Rashi writes, and I'm reading Rashi. V'chatas Hu Diyalfe Mishlamim. In other words, Rashi says over here we're learning chatas from shlamim, meaning this is going in the other direction. We've been up until now arguing that we're learning shlamim from chatas. So Rashi is saying, good. The portal of Hekesh is open, but we're going now in the other direction. We're going to learn a halacha about Chatas from Shlamim. Right? We always have this kind of give and take when we talk about a Hekesh. Meaning Hekesh is an opening of a portal between one halacha and another halacha. And commonly we always get this idea of which way are we learning? Which direction are we learning? So Rashi says now we're going in the other direction. So v'chatas hu diyalfa mishlamim. Ma'ayol nazir im hevi o yechidi b'lo chatas v'olo ha'yatza. Now, we know, says Rashi, that if you brought just the shlamim by itself, you're yotzei. Meaning he has now concluded his nazirus. How do I know that? Dichsiv, Rashi says. Because v'achar yishte ha'nazir yayin. So the pasuk says, and afterwards he's going to be able to drink wine. Obviously the drinking of wine is clearly a termination of his nazirus. Clearly. Now, that in of itself is not instructive. But let's read on in Rashi. Va'amar mar b'sifri. Now Rashi quotes the Sifri, right? The Torah Shabbal Peh, the original Torah Shabbal Peh that was written down. And the Sifri writes on the Pasuk, Acher Maisa Yechidi. That when it says Acher, it means all you need to do is one act. One act meaning one karban. V'hainu shlamim. Now the Sifri says that it identifies it as which one of the karbanos is like the main karban of the Nazir, the shlamim. How so? She'ikar takla social nazir tuluya b'shlamav. So because when the nazir shaves his head, which again indicates conclusion of nazirus, he's shaving his head over the karban shlamim. Sharei huskiku lolo shalech saro tachas adud. Because as I explained earlier, but Rashi over here, I got it from Rashi. So, but Rashi over here writes, because what the Nazir does is he takes his hair and he places it under the pot where the Zeror B'Shel is being cooked, and it's the pot that's cooking the carbon shlamim. Kedichsiv ala esha sher tachat zevach shlamim. V'tanya b'sifri v'gilach ha-Nazir pesach olamod b'shlamim akos medaber. And Rashi quotes another Sifri, which again gives this indication that the shlamim is really, quote-unquote, the main carbon offered by the Nazir. So, Kasa Medaber, Klamer Gilu Choshel Nazir Ayde Davish and Emma Bovishacha Pesach Omar, Vahanu Shlamim, Bivayikra. So, anyway, and read on in Rashi. But in other words, the main carbon of a Nazir is a carbon shlamim. He brings the carbon shlamim, he's going to get a check. And now what we're learning through the Hekesh is as follows. Even though that's certainly true by the carbon shlamim, it's also going to be true by either the Chatos or the Ola. Meaning, even though they're quote unquote not the main carbonos, but the bringing of any one of those carbonos brings his Nazirus to a formal conclusion. Okay, Adkan. Takes us to the end of the first sugya of today. We are up to now the next Mishnah. We're Nun Hayim and Aleph. And now we're making the transition. We have now transitioned in the Mishnah in the fifth paragraph of Zvachim from Kachim Kachim to Kachim Kalim. This transition now of Kachim Kachim to Kachim Kalim really is going to impact two basic halachas, where the animal is going to be shechted, and also who the consumers are going to be and where they can consume. In other words, by Kachim Kachim, we have said repeatedly that where is the Kachim Kachim to be shechted? In the north, meaning that is one of the halachas that repeats itself again and again. It is what is the prototypical halacha regarding the Kachim Kachim, the shechted in the north. Also in terms of consumption, now not all Kachim Kachim are consumed, as we know. One of them is the carbonola. Obviously, there's no consumers. It all goes up onto the Mizbeach. But in other words, those Kachim Kachim which are consumed, they're only consumed by Zichrei Kohuna, male Kohanim, in the Azara. Now, as we move on to Kachim Kalim, so there we're going to make these two notable changes. One is the area in the Azara where it can be shechted. We're going to learn in the course of today's daf, it can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. Well, we're going to make that point clear as we go through today's daf. And number two is who and where can it be consumed? So it can be consumed by anybody, and where could be anywhere within Chomas Yerushalayim, within the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, so those are the basic distinctions between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim. And in Kachim Kalim, so the prototypical carbon of the Kachim Kalim is the Shlamim. But as we're going to see, they're going to be offshoots of the carbon Shlamim. Why are they mentioned first in the Mishnah? So I'll read the Mishnah. It should be clear to all of us. But let me read the Mishnah, and then you'll see why it is that these specified specialty carbon Shlamim are mentioned first. Hatoda ve'el Nazir, Kachim Kalim. So now we move on to our next category of Kachim Kalim, and that is the Karban Todah and the El Nazir. Karban Todah is when a person goes through a life-harrowing experience and survives. So he brings the Karban Todah to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Birchas HaGomel that we say nowadays, obviously, is a substitute for the Karban Todah. And the El Nazir, as we just described in some detail, right, the ram that's offered by the Nazir falls under the category of Kachim Kalim. So Kachim Kalim, Shechitasim B'chom Makom Be'azara. You shecht it in any place in the Azara, v'damam tam shtei matana shein arba. Once again, in terms of application, it's going to be the same. Meaning, two on the two opposite corners of the Mizbeach, like we described earlier. V'nechalam b'chol ha'ir l'chol adam, b'chol maicha. And here comes now the other big difference, and that is it can be eaten within the entire city of Yerushalayim, within Chomas Yerushalayim. It can be eaten by anybody. B'chol Maichel could be prepared in any way. Again, the Mishnah keeps saying this because it's setting us up for the Karban Pesach, which we're going to see later on. Karban Pesach can only be eaten sleek, can only be eaten roasted. All other karbanos can be prepared in any manner. Le'yom v'layla, it can be eaten for the day and for the night, ad chatzos, until midnight. So in other words, like kachim kachim, so over here the time restriction of these particular shlamim are going to be not the full 2 days with the night in between, but rather a day and a night. Hamor mem kayot bam. Now, there are going to be parts of this carbon that are going to be separated. Now, I'll use the word truma. I just don't want to confuse it with produce truma. Obviously, we're not talking about produce truma. We're talking about carbon truma over here. Meaning parts of the animal are going to be taken off and given to the Kohen. These parts that are given to the Kohen, Ella, are going to be treated like them. Meaning in terms of time that can be eaten, in terms of place that can be eaten. Ella shamurim nechala kohanim l'shem l'vneim l'avdehem. The parts that are given to the Kohanim can be eaten by the Kohanim and any of the attachments to the Kohanim, wives, children, Evikanani, so they can eat it as well. Much like they can eat the truma, produce truma, so they can eat kachim truma, right? Carbon truma. So the parts that are taken off of the animal, they're given to the Kohanim, can be eaten by Kohanim together with family members of the Kohanim. Tana Rabbanan. And by the way, why? So I asked the question, let's answer the question. Why are these mentioned first before the regular Karban Shlamim? So the answer seemingly is because, again, the Mishnayos over here are working in progression, meaning we're basically going from more restrictive to more relaxed. So even though these are Kachim Kalim, but they are restrictive Kachim Kalim, restrictive in which way? In terms of the time that they can be eaten. They can be eaten only during the day of that they're shechted, and only the following night, and as a siyag, only up until midnight. A regular Karban Shlamim has a more of an allowance to eat. So since the progression of Mishnayos over here is moving from more restrictive to more relaxed, so therefore these come in at this point in time. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara starts off with the following discussion: Es chazea tenufa veishok hatruma tochlu b'makom tahor. So the chest and the shok hatruma, the thigh of these karbanos are going to be given to the kohen so that the kohen can eat it b'makom tahor, in a Torah place. Now over here, we're giving a description of the karbanos that are brought on the eighth day of the miluim. In other words, this is basically the day of Hakamas HaMishkan. And so the Torah over here describes where the Kohanim are going to be eating the parts that are taken off for them. They're eating in a makom tahor. Now, Amar Rabbi Nechemin, or Rabbi Nechemia says they're eating in a makom tahor. It gives off a funny indication. V'chi rishonim b'toma achlom. What does that mean? Earlier karbanos that were offered that day were eaten in a makom tameh. I mean, is it right? These karbanos you got to eat in a makom tahor. The other karbanos, it's okay. You can eat in a makom tameh. Meaning it can be. So el atar mechloshu tameh. So in other words, what the Torah is telling us over here is that the parts that are given over to the Kohanim are eaten in an area which is tahor to some, tameh to others. Now, what area is that? Tahor mitumas mitzar v'tameh b'tumas zav. Ve'izazez ha'machaneh Yisrael. An area where a zav could be, an area where where a mitzvah cannot be, and where a zav can be, and that's a reference to Machane Yisrael, right? We just read a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Baloscha, back a sedra. Parshas Naso, we just read about where, if you're tummy, where you sent out of, and based on where and based on what type of tummy you have, that will dictate where you are sent out of. Now, as we know, in terms of areas in the Beis HaMikdash, there are three areas concentric one within the other. The area that is most holy is, of course, the area of the actual Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, meaning the actual building itself. And that includes also the Azara, anywhere circumscribed within the Azara. The area around that is the Har HaBayis, and the area around that is Chomos Yerushalayim. If I were to transfer that over to when the Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the desert, so the area of the Mishkan is Machaneh Shechina. The area where the Levim are residing, which is the next concentric circle around that, is Machaneh Leviyah. And the area where Yisrael are residing, that's Machaneh Yisrael. Fine. We know that when you are Tameh, so you are to be excused from certain areas. If you are a Mitzora, you go out of all three camps. If you go out, if you are a Zav, a Zava, or a Nida Yoledis, you are going to be leaving the inner two camps, but you can be in the third camp, meaning you can be a Machaneh Yisrael. If you are Tameh Meis, so you're out of Machaneh Shechina, but you're allowed to be a Machaneh Leviyah. Okay? That means to say, again, not weighing in on the Har HaBayis discussion of whether you can or cannot go, but in other words, if for a man to go into Har HaBayis, so if he came into contact with Meis, that would be okay. Meaning Meis only excludes him from the Azara, not from the Har HaBayis area. If he is a Zava, or in the modern case of Balkari, so he cannot be in the Har HaBayis area, meaning he has to be excluded from the Har HaBayis area. So any man who would like to go into Har HaBayis, again, leaving all the other issues aside, just speaking strictly from a Tumah standpoint, so in other words, you can't be a Balkari and be on the Har HaBayis. If you want to go into the Har HaBayis, you have to tovel the mikvah and remove the Tumah of Balkari. And even though, obviously, that doesn't remove Tumas Meis, but in other words, that Balkari is now removed, and now you could, just from that perspective alone, go into the Har HaBayis area. With all that stated, so now with the way we're darshing the Pesukim, is that if you are Tameh Metumas Mitzor V'Tameh Metumas Zav, so we're looking in an area that one Tumah cannot be there and one Tumah can be there. Tumas Mitzor cannot be there, Zav can be there, that's a reference to Machaneh Yisrael. Meaning to say that the Truma that's taken off the Karbanos and given to the Kohanim can be eaten anywhere within, I'm now speaking in the Beis HaMikdash area, not only in the Azara, but not only in Har HaBayis, but in all of Yerushalayim. The aim of the Gemara suggests, well, why don't we say the following? Tami Tumas Zav, Tami Tumas Meis. Bezis is a Machaneh Leviyah. Well, look, if we're looking at an area which is permitted for some but excluded for others, so we could just as well look at Machaneh Leviyah, which again, translated into Beis HaMikdash terminology, is Har HaBayis. Because if you think about it, Har HaBayis, a Tameh Meis can be there, a Tameh Zav cannot be there. So can't the Pasuk be describing that area? So the Gemara gives two explanations in terms of how we know it can't be describing that area. Amar HaBayis, explanation number one. Amakra, the Pasuk says, V'achalta mosa b'makum kadosh, ata b'makum kadosh, v'lo acheres b'makum kadosh. It says regarding the consumption of various kache kadashim, it is eaten b'makam kadosh. But in other words, something similar to it is not eaten by makam kadosh. So afkel amachna levia. So therefore, it's moved out one circle, one concentric circle, moved out to machna levia, and then hadoksib by makam tahor. And then when the Torah says makam tahor afkel lamachna yisrael, that moves us out a second step. So basically, by the Torah, one through inference, another one by spelling it out. So basically, the Torah has ejected the kohen, but only from Machane Shechina to Machane Leviyah, and then to Machane Yisrael. So that's how we know that the Kohen can eat his Truma's Karban, in Machane Yisrael. Rava gives a different explanation. Rava Amar, Osa b'makam kadosh, v'lo achash b'makam kadosh. Same starting point, where the Torah gives an inference where the Kohen can eat it wherever he wants. Afke l'gamre. So when the Torah ejects the Kohen with his Truma out of the Azara, it's a full ejection, meaning out of Machane Shechina, out of Machane Leviyah, out of Machane Yisrael. Right now, it's a strange havamin of Rava, but Rava is now suggesting that the Kohen can eat his Truma even outside of Yerushalayim. And then Hadur Ksiv Rachmana Tochel B'Makom Tahor, and when the Torah says that you have to eat it B'Makom Tahor, Aile L'Machane Yisrael. So what the Torah now is instructing the Kohen to do is, oh, you know what, you're too far out. Go in one, which going in one means Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, V'Ema Aile L'Machane Leviyah. So the Gemara says, well, if as long as we're telling the Kohen to go in, why are we saying go in one? Why don't we say go in two? Meaning go into Machane, go into Yerushalayim, go into the Har HaBayis. So the Gemara says, L'chana Ma'ilina, L'tartu La'ma'ilina. So the Gemara says, no. Because when the Torah says move, the Torah is by definition, we always take a minimalistic approach, a conservative approach. We're not going to say move in two, we're going to say move in one. So the Gemara says, Yahachi afukinam l'chad mafkinam l'tartu la'mafkinan. So the Gemara says, well, if we were talking about ejection from the Azara, so take a conservative approach, meaning don't say he's ejected two steps out, say that he's ejected only one step out, meaning like Abayi said. And also, even your original Havamina, which was where was the Torah ejecting the Kohen with his Truma, with his Truma's Karban, outside of Yerushalayim? Meaning even as the Havamina, that we never would have entertained that the Pasuk says, Lo Sucha Lechol B'Sha'arecha. You can't eat any of the kachim in your cities, meaning anywhere outside of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, "Elam achvarta kida Abaye." Abaye's explanation in terms of how we know that the Kohen with his Trumas carbon can eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim, meaning he doesn't have to limit himself to the Azar, nor does he have to limit himself to the Har HaBayis. He could be eating it anywhere in Yerushalayim. Abaye's explanation seems to be the preferred explanation. It's subdivided in other areas in halacha, but in terms of a tamei and where he's sent to, in other words, it's very simple. It's in other words, there are three concentric circles. That's it. The language of the Mishnah uses kalayim, but in other words, but we're just simply right. Right. Well, this is the first opportunity we're talking about Kavshim Kalim. Right. So it's the first opportunity we're going to describe now a broader area in which you can eat it. Okay, we up to the next Mishnah, Nun Hey, Amad Aleph. We are now at the second Mishnah on the Daf. And Shlamim. So now we are discussing the topic of Shlamim in general. Right, this is now your basic carbon Shlamim. It's Kavshim Kalim. It falls under the category of Kavshim Kalim. Shechitasim b'chamakam b'azar v'dam v'tam shtem matanos. You shecht it anywhere in the Azara, the applications are two Shein Arba, which are going to hit the four walls like we described earlier. V'nechalim b'chol ha'ir, and can be consumed anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim, l'chol adam, by any person, b'chol ma'ichol prepared anyway, l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. And here now, as the rules get relaxed, how long can you eat the meat of the Karban Shlamim? The day shechted, the following night, and the following day as well. Amuram mehem kayotze behem. Anything separated from by them, given to the Kohanim, again, every Shlamim, there are going to be parts of a Karban Shlamim. The Shok and the Chazen Shok, which are taken off of every Shlamim, given to the Kohanim. So Kayot and Mem are going to have the same status of Shlamim in terms of where it can be consumed, in terms of when it can be consumed. The only restriction regarding the portions given to the Kohanim is who is going to eat them. Elosh Amorim Nechal HaKohanim L'Shem L'Vneim V'Lavdehem. Who are going to be the consumers? Answer is going to be the Kohanim and all the family members of the Kohanim. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara starts off with the following: V'shachtu Pesach Ol Moed, V'shachtu Oso Pesach Ol Moed, V'shachtu Oso Lefnei Ol Moed. Yes, I just repeated myself three times over. The Torah repeats itself three times over, meaning when the Torah introduces us to the Karmish Lamim in the third parak of Vayikra, so the Torah over there tells us that it breaks it up into three paragraphs. Each paragraph details a Karmish Shlamim just with a different animal. The big animal and the two smaller animals, Bakar, Son, and an Aes. Bakar, Kevish, and Aes. Son is a broader term describing both sheep and goat. So anyway, and every time the Torah tells us about the Shechting and the Karmish Shlamim, the Torah just gives us one instruction point, and that is Pesach Ol Moed. You have to be at the entrance of the Ol Moed. So again, I know the Torah is talking about the Mishkan, but we're just simply going to translate that information over to the Beis Hamikdash, specifically to the Azara. So here's what we are now establishing. Where is the Shlamim to be shechted? Anywhere in the Azara. But when we say anywhere, with one caveat, it's anywhere in the Azara as long as there's an entrance, as long as there's some sort of vantage point to the Heichal. You have to be able to see inside the Heichal. Right? The Torah keeps repeating, Pesach Ol Moed. So there has to be some sort of vantage to the Heichal. Now, the V'shachtu Oso Lefnei Ol Moed. V'shachtu Oso Lefnei Ol Moed. L'hachshir Es Kol Aruchos B'Kachim Kalim. So in other words, basically what the Torah is now instructing us is that you can shecht it and B'Kol Aruchos in every direction. Meaning, when we say every direction, meaning because by Kachet Kachem, as we kept repeating now for the last eight blot of Gemara, so it's been only B'tzafon, only in the north, meaning there's only one direction which you can shecht Kachet Kachem. But when it comes to Kachem Kalem, Shlamim, so you can shecht in all four directions. Now, there's only three psukim. So the three psukim cover how many directions? Well, what the Gemara is assuming right now is that the three psukim are covering now three directions. But there's an allowance to shecht in all four directions. So where do we get the fourth direction from? So the Gemara now is going to argue with Rav Chaimer. And the Rav Chaimer sounds like this. Rav Chaimer letzafon. Ma kachet kadashon shelo hukshur b'chol ruchos hukshur b'tzafon. Kachem kalim shehukshur b'chol ruchos and it did shehukshur b'tzafon. So according to the Tanakhama, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a Rav Chaimer allowing the kachem kalim to be shecht in the north. And the Rav Chaimer seems to be a pretty sturdy Rav Chaimer. The logical argument is, well, if kachim, which is more restrictive, and there's an allowance to shecht in the north, kachim kalim, which is less restrictive, for sure you're allowed to shecht in the north. So the north is already a given. So these three psukim now that allow me to shecht the kachim kalim are now giving me an allowance to shecht it in the other three directions, east, west, and south. The Gemara says, Rebbe Lazar Amar, lo nemar kasav ela lahachshir tzafon. So the Rebbe Lazar says, no. In fact, without the psukim, without the extra psukim, I would have thought you can't shecht a shlamim in the north. In fact, I would have made the argument that we're restricted from shechting the kachim kalim in the north, the shlamim in the north, shiachav alo dinhu. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to make now the following kav v'chomer. Umar kachim kalim shehukshur b'chol aruchos lohukshur mekomam eitzel kachim kachim. So in other words, we know that there is a more relaxed rule regarding where you shecht your shlamim anywhere in the Azara, places where I can't shech the kachet kachim. Kachet kachim shalukshur ela b'tzafon eno din shalukshur mekomam eitzel kachim kalim. And so therefore the argument now could be inverted. Well, if I can't shech a kachet kachim in an area of the kachim kalim, so maybe the argument is that I can't shech the kachim kalim in an area where I shech the kachet kachim. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer is able to construct an argument that actually runs exactly opposite to what we said earlier. We said earlier that the Kav HaChomer should allow the Kachem Kalim to be shecht in the north. Now we're saying, no, look, if I can't shecht Kachem in an area where the Kachem Kalim can be shechted, so the inversion also should be true. I can't shecht Kachem Kalim in an area of the Kachem are to be shechted. So Tamalomar, Oel Moed. So in other words, that would have been the argument, Rabbi Eliezer says, so therefore, what does the Torah come to tell me? Ol Moed. So Ol Moed is telling me that I could shecht the Kachem Kalim even in the north. Logic would dictate otherwise. The Pasuk tells me that I could shecht it even in the north. Comes out now.
How does Ol Moed signify north?
Ol Moed just simply means anywhere. Anywhere where there's a vantage point. So now the Gemara says, so Mamai Kamiflagi. So now comes. Well, we'll talk. That's coming up later in the daf. So now what comes out is that we have a machlokas, but we don't have a machlokas. Meaning, we have clearly machlokas in Tanakam and Rabbi Lez in terms of how to construct a kavachomer and what the argument would have led us to conclude. But when all said and done, we're all in agreement. Kashim Kalam could be shechted anywhere in the Azara, northwest, south, or east. So now, but my kamithlagi, so the Gemara now wants to know, so really, what is that issue over here? Meaning, so we have three psukim. We have a question of how to darshan the three psukim, but when all said and done, aren't we in perfect agreement? So the Gemara says like this, Tanakama Sava Talasa Krai Ksivi. So now let's go from the vantage point of the Tanakama. There are three psukim. That's a given. What are we going to do with the three psukim? So according to the Tanakama, here's how it's going to go. Chad Lagufe Dini Bai Pesach Lomoi. The first pasuk is there to tell us the first rule regarding Shechtim, Kachim, Kalim, Shlamim, and that is that there must be a vantage point to the Heichal. In other words, Pesach HaMoed. Number two, V'chal LaHachshir Tzadim. And a second pasuk is now to include the sides as well. Meaning, as you are in the Azara, and you are now east to the actual building itself, obviously there is a entrance, there is a large entrance into the Heichal. That's the Pesach HaMoed. That's the entrance into the Heichal itself. What we would have, if I only would have had the first pasuk, I would have said that the only place that you can shecht your shlamim is where you are directly parallel with the entrance. The entrance itself is on the east side of the Heichal, and only if you're directly parallel east of that entrance, then and only then can you shecht a carbon shlamim. If I only had one pasuk. The second pasuk is coming to tell me tzadim. You don't have to be directly parallel to the entrance. As long as you are anywhere east of the Heichal and you have a vantage point, as slim as it may be, you have a vantage point into the entrance of the Heichal, so you can check. That's what we're going to do with our second pasuk. Our third pasuk, let's just go through the three pasukim. V'chad lifso tzidei tzadim. And the third pasuk is coming to disqualify side to the side. Now, side to the side over here, not perfectly clear exactly what the Gemara means by that. I'll say over Rashi. Now, I know Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi, but I'll say over Rashi. Chad lipsol tzidei tzadim kagon. Rashi writes, Lishkos, ve'afilu tochen kodesh, psulos v'shchita k'delakam, and delo tema midepesach lavdavka, lifnei nami lavdavka, elashie oel, natui lahachi hadoksiv lifnei, lememer dedavka hu velo lishkos. Let's say, we're going to learn in Masech Demidos, there are many chambers that are surrounding the Azara. Now those chambers are actually built into the wall. Part of those chambers are actually in the Azara proper, meaning is that if you could draw an imaginary line of the Azara, that imaginary line actually goes into the Lishkos, it cuts into the chambers. So, you could have made an argument, says Rashi, that if I'm in the chamber itself proper, I don't have a vantage point into the Pesach HaMoed, but I'm in the Azara, and I'm east of the Heichal, so you could have made an argument that, look, there's a wall separating me and the entrance of the Heichal, but so what? Meaning I'm in the Azara. If there were no wall over there, I would have had a vantage point, so that might have been good. That's how Rashi explains that, no. In other words, that Tzidei Tzadim, that's off to the side, again, not literally in this context, the way Rashi explains it, but still, it's off to the side, and therefore you can't shecht in the Lishka, even though you're in the Azara proper, and even though you're east of the Heichal.
If you set the Mizbeah Hitzon, right, wouldn't that obstruct your view of the...
We're going to discuss that later. Tosos is going to ask your very question. Okay?
And the Ulam doesn't play in this at all? Because the Ulam kind of blocks the
Pesach. Right now, we're going to treat the Ulam as part of the Heichal. Meaning,
the Pesach Ulam, right, really talking.
Right. There is a Gemara that makes some segregation of Kedusha between the Heichal and the Ulam, but for our purposes right now, the entrance to the Ulam, let's call that the entrance. Let's call that the Pesach. Correct. Right. That's what we're learning together. And that's all according to the Tanakhama. Now we're going to go around two. And according to the Tanakhama, I don't need a pasuk for the north. Why? Because again, Tanakhama held by his kavachomer. The kavachomer already include the north, so I need a pasuk for that. That is all according to the Tanakhama. Now we're going to do the same thing, round two, but we're now going to do it according to Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar, Sefer Chad, Legufe, Dinibai, Pesach, Olamoy. The first pasuk establishes our basic point, which is, when you're shechting a Karban Shlamim in the Azara, you have to have a vantage point. You have to see an opening to the Olamoyed. V'chad l'achshir tzafon. And a second pasuk is to include the north, because remember, according to Rebbe Eliezer, the Kal v'chomer knocked out the north, so therefore I need a pasuk to reintroduce the north. And v'chad l'achshir tzadim, and now the third pasuk is there to include tzadim, like we described earlier. Meaning, without the third pasuk, I would have thought that you only can shecht a shlamim if you are directly parallel east of the entrance. So, coming to teach me that, no, tzadim would be okay. Now, the exclusion of tzadim doesn't need a pasuk according to Rabbi Eliezer. So, when all said and done, even though the Gemara now has gone over how the Tanakham is going to explain the three pesukim, how Rabbi Eliezer is going to explain the same pesuk, these three pesukim, truth of the matter is, what has just come out from the Gemara is, there really is no halachic difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara notes a subtle difference in language between the various psukim that we just cited. One, it says Pesach Ol Moed, says, and the other says Lifnei Ol Moed. So what is it coming to teach me? Kamash Malan Kid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shlamim Sheshachtem Karam Sheyiftechu Delasos Ha'echa Psulim. If you shecht the Karam Shlamim before the doorways are open to the Hechal, we're going to be learning together in Masechta Tamid. Masechta Tamid is a day in the life, meaning Masechta Tamid, a small, beautiful little Masechta, basically describes the Avoda in one given day in the Beis Hamikdash. What happens in the morning, what happens over the course of the day, what happens in the evening. So and in that Masechta, we're going to be learning together that one of the first things that are done in the morning is doorways opened, meaning you open the doors to the Hechal, to the Ulam, to the Hechal. What we are saying now is that in order for a Karban Shlamim to be shechted properly, the doors have to be open. If for whatever reason the doorways are not open, so the shechting of the Karban Shlamim is simply not good. Shenemer v'shechtu pesach olamoed bezman shu pasuch v'lo bezman shu ha'na'ul. Edmer nami amar ravuk v'abracham amar rav Yosef rabbi chanina shlamim sheshechtam kodesh yiftichu idlas tzayich ha'psulim shenemer v'shechtu pesach olamoed bezman shu pesach ha'yich ha'pasuch v'lo bezman shu ha'na'ul. I read that quickly, but the Amorim are just simply in agreement that the doorway has to be open. V'marav amasni hachin eret Yisrael, they learned it like this. Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Achav, Amar Rav Ashi, Shlamim sheshechtam kodesh yiftichu idlas tzayichal psulim. Any karmen shlamim that shechted before the doorways are open are pasul. Over Mishkan kodesh sheyamdu levi'im es haMishkan. Now in the Mishkan. Now I know we're going back historically, but in the Mishkan there was no doorway to the Heichal, meaning it was a curtain, but it was no doorway. So what is going to make the distinction whether the shechting was good or not good? It's going to be the setting up of the Mishkan. Meaning, if you shecht your shlamim before the Mishkan was set up or after was taken down, so then it's not going to be good. Pshita mugav kanal dami. Now, if the doors are closed but not locked, but that's closed, meaning, and that's not good. Vilon mai. But what if it's just a curtain partitioning the heichal from the outside? So amr abizera hu atzmoi nasa ela kepesach pasuach. So the Gemara says that's not considered closed. Meaning the curtain is just there for the purposes of privacy, and so therefore that's not considered closed. Gova mai, what if there is a mound separating you and the Pesach? So in other words, your view of the Pesach is obstructed by a mound. And now, Ben, we can ask the question. Tosfos over here asked the question, and that is, wait one second. What do you mean if there is a mound obstructing? By many areas in the Azara, there is going to be a mound obstructing, and that mound is called the Mizbeach. So the Gemara now is asking about an obstruction. You could be standing east of the Mizbeach, and now you have this thing called the Mizbeach serving as an obstruction. Tosfos asked the question. Tosfos, quite frankly, doesn't give an answer. Tosfos, third Tosfos on the Amud. Gova mai tema. E gova chashiv hefsek. If a mound which is obstructing your view is going to be considered a hefsek, imkein kenegan mizbeach, yipasol shemafsik. So the Mizbeach should be considered an obstruction and therefore be mafsik. Ve'ein lomar. And Tosfos says, and here's what I will not argue. Mishum deroa pesach melamala lemizbeach. So the Gemara says, well, we know that the height of the entrance of the Heichal is really high. And as a result of that, I could see over the Mizbech. Remember, the Mizbech itself is only 9 amos off the ground. The Kronos are 10 amos. But the top of the Marach is only 9 amos off the ground. So if you have a good angle, so you're going to be able to see over, you're going to be seeing some of the entrance. But Tosa says, I don't love that as an answer. As we're going to see in just a moment, the Gemara is going to entertain the idea that 8 amas is considered a hafsek. You'll see why the number 8 is introduced in the Gemara in just a moment. And 8, again, there's a havamin in the Gemara coming up, that 8 does not represent the entire entrance, but rather the entrance is 20 amas high, and there's an 8 amma blockage, and the Gemara is going to entertain that that serves as a blockage. So if that's so, meaning, so let's go back to the Mizbech, so the Mizbech should serve as an obstruction, at least in the Gemara's question over here. And Tosus goes on, but quite frankly, Tosus does not give an answer to his question. Yes?
I mean, based on height of the Mizbech, the closer you are to it, no matter how tall the oil is.
Right, correct. In other words, right. In other words, you can have an angle that will give you full obstruction. Okay? All right. I mean, again, mechitza over here, the halacha is not predicated on being in a... In other words, the halacha over here is predicated on vantage. You need a vantage. So mechitza over here is not... In other words, it's not serving as a partition. It's just blocking, it's obstructing your viewpoint. Okay? Let's go on in the Gemara. Sorry. It's a good question. It's Tosus' question. So I don't have a suggestion. So the... Govamai, back to the Gemara, Tashma, Detanya, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Amar, Shnei Pishpishim, Hayu, Bevesa, Chalifos. V'govin Shmona, Kedei Lahachshir, Sazar, Kula, Lachilas, Kachi, Kedosh, Shchitos, Kachim, Kalam. Now, we have not yet discussed, and we're going to do so just briefly right now, and tomorrow morning we'll start on this topic. But in other words, right now, so far, we have certainly learned together this morning that by the Karban Shlamim, we are more relaxed in terms of where the animal can be shechted. But you need a vantage point to the Pesach Ol Moed. Now, assuming that the Pesach Ol Moed is on the east side, not assuming, it is. The entrance to the Ol Moed is on the east side. So right now, even though we're more relaxed in our rules, but right now, you're still limited because the only place that you could shecht the Shlamim is going to be anywhere eastbound of the actual Heichal itself because you need a vantage point into the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. And so that means to say then that if you are anywhere north of the Heichal, anywhere south of the Heichal, and it goes without saying, although tomorrow morning we're going to open up by describing what if you're to the west of the Heichal, but if you're north of the Heichal and you're south of the Heichal, so you shouldn't be shechting over there, right? So what we're about to learn right now in the Gemara is they solved for that problem. In that what they did is they created an entrance, a smaller entrance opening up on the north side of the actual Heichal, on the south side of the Heichal, opposite of the room referred to as the Beis HaChalifos. Beis HaChalifos are where the knives are stored. So since there's an entrance on the north and south side, and if you have now a good picture of the Heichal, we're really talking about on the northwest corner of the Ulam. And on the south side, on the southwest corner of the Ulam. So that now entrance allows a person to shecht his shlamim anywhere now that has a vantage point. And as we're going to learn together, that's going to include not just anywhere west of that area, but the Gemara is going to pinpoint anywhere north of that area as well. And on the south side, anywhere west of that area, and anywhere south of that area as well. Now, for a moment, what the Gemara now is wondering, it's 8 amas high. What's 8 amas high? So, my lav de'ika kamay shmona. So the Gemara says that, and this is what Tosus was referring to earlier, there's a havamina now in the Gemara that the actual entrance itself is 20 amas high, because it's an entrance, to these Beis HaChalifos. But in other words, the obstruction blocking it is 8 amas high. Maybe that's what's being described over here. The Gemara says low. Degavo ninu shmona. So the Gemara says no, that's wrong. Meaning the actual entrance itself is 8 amas high. And why was the Gemara confused? I'll tell you why. Meisvei. Kol sharam shayu sham govan esunama. V'rochvan esunamas. Because an entrance in the Beis HaMikdash is by code 20 amas high, 10 amas wide. So if you're telling me that there's an entrance into the Beis HaChalifos, so we know what the codes are in terms of what the size, what the parameters of an entrance is. 20 by 10. 20 high, 10 across. So the Gemara says, Pishpishim Shani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is not a formal entrance. It's not a Pesach. It's a Pishpish. Now, I know it sounds like nomenclature. It just sounds like semantics. But still, it's not a formal entrance. And so therefore, it does not have to be 20 amasai. It could be an amasai. The 8 over here is describing the height of it, not the obstruction, not the doorway. Vayikat stadim. Now, here at this point, the Gemara is thinking that the entrance is facing the west. In other words, but not the north. And so the Gemara now wants to know, if you're directly north of the Ulam, can you shecht over there? Or if you're directly south of the Ulam, can you shecht over there? The Gemara's response is, Dema'ayolahu bekeren zavis. The Gemara says, no, the entrance, this pishpesh is not placed on the west side of the Ulam, but rather it's placed on the northwest side of the Ulam, on the north side, on the southwest portion of the Ulam, on the south side. And so by putting it in the corner, by putting this entrance in the corner, so now there will be a vantage point from anywhere north or west of the Ulam, anywhere north and west of the Ulam on the south side. What we are yet to establish, which we're going to start tomorrow morning, is what if you're directly west of the Heichal? There are 11 amos between the end of the Heichal and the back wall of the western wall of the Azara. What if you're there? Can you shecht a Karban Shlamim? Tomorrow morning we're going to learn the answer to that question.